You're listening to the Sportsman's Nation Podcast Network, brought to you by Lacrosse Boots. Now, if you guys haven't had the opportunity to check out the Navigator Series, it's a brand new lineup from Lacrosse. They have the Windrose for men and women. They also have the Atlas, and that's what I wore during my rut vacation this fall. Check them out. They're very comfortable. It's a traditional rubber boot, kind of mixed with a traditional hunting hiking boot. They've mashed it together, and the outcome is the Navigator Series. Check it out at lacrossefootwear.com.
Welcome to the Land and Legacy Podcast. We're your hosts, Adam Keith
and Matt Dye.
This is your number one resource for all things land.
If you're interested in conservation, habitat management, hunting strategy, and rural real estate, this is the podcast for you.
Well, it is
November 30th. I almost said December.
Yeah, but when this releases, it'll be December. So December, welcome to 3rd. December, guys. November is over.
Done. In the books.
I think one thing, to me, you know, I feel like December, well, Seth Harker likes hunting December more than he likes hunting November.
Any month of the hunting season. Way more.
Yeah, he loves December. It's his favorite month. And it's starting to get to where now life's too doggone busy to really get hard to hunting, because last year I barely hunted December. Probably won't get to hunt a whole lot this year in December, with my daughter being born December 8th. And then, of course, Christmas and all that
traveling
stuff.
We've already got
consultations for December, mid-December.
They're steady.
And we probably have more once this podcast releases, because mm-hmm. this is the
hint that we've been hinting at.
Yeah, this is kind of one of those things that for 3 years now, you know, I think we officially launched January 2017. Yep. So we're coming up on a 3-year anniversary. And this has been something people have asked us from day one.
Yes.
They've asked for this, and we haven't ever offered it.
We've been hard-headed for good reasons.
For a lot of reasons, and I just, we felt, how do you say this anyway?
Well, here's my kind of coming around to the idea, is we started Land and Legacy. We got a lot of action and boots on the ground, and really have led into the in-the-field consultation videos, like on-the-ground actual habitat management, not just a higher-level kind of representation. We did that a lot for several years, and we've talked a lot about it, obviously, on the podcast, reviewing properties and things like that. And then, but in doing that, that requires quite a bit of commitment from, you know, both parties, let's say client as well as us, to come on site, to be present a full day, 2 days, 3 days, whatever it takes to be able to learn that property. And with that, though, we've like, man, you got to be on site. You got to be on site. You've got to be there to see all this stuff.
Absolutely. To me, well, go ahead.
Well, I was gonna say, but at the same time, there's a lot of other people out there who are just as hungry for that information, but can't quite make that same commitment.
No. Mm-mm.
And so this is that avenue, and we've had to, from being on boots on the ground, approach this avenue very cautiously, but at the same time, really, really, really try and rack our brains as to make it the most efficient possible thing we can do, given the restraints of it.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we go on a client's property, we aren't just there for the payment.
No.
Like it's a lot of heart and soul goes into our consulting services and what we do in the back end research. I mean, when we go to a place, we really, and sometimes we may not even communicate this much more than conversation with the landowner on what the native landscape looked like, what native species are here, what invasive species are present. We communicate that through conversation and through the report.
Yep.
But there's way more work going into that than there is actually conveying that to them.
Yeah.
Or even putting it in the report.
Yeah.
For me, I love the native landscape and the history, and so there's a lot of back end research that doesn't even make its way to the person's report or conversation all the time.
No. A lot of it is. But prior to even, you know, like I said, showing up on site and be like, okay, we're here, but we got to know historically, what are we going to encounter? What are we going to see?
Yeah.
Like that's that back end stuff that's super important to figure out.
Not only that, but like, there's a reason you need to know that or have some idea, because, you know, if you're in a grassland, there is no point of ever trying to turn it into a forest. It's only going to be a headache from day one. You're going to plant it, deer are going to eat them,
yeah.
Or you're going to plant it and the seeds aren't going to take.
Yeah, the climate's not going to work. You're not going to grow these trees like you would want. It just doesn't
make sense. It doesn't work. You can't make nature something that it doesn't want to be.
I mean, you
see that all the time, too.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody take a habitat or an ecosystem, and which when it's in its peak or when it's managed correctly is phenomenal habitat for a long list of wildlife.
Yep.
But then for some reason, the thick-skulled landowner wants it to be something that it's not, and they try to incorporate a whole new thing of management, and then they just get frustrated.
I'm not making light, and we're getting a little off topic, but I'm not making light of any loss of income or anything like that. But it's like going to a farmer who's got ag ground in like all floodplain,
mm-hmm.
and then it floods,
and he curses the flood.
And it's like, no, stop it! You knew that was going to happen. You knew there was a very strong potential that was going to happen.
It's the same way why you couldn't build a house in a floodplain. You couldn't get it insured because the insurance company be like, we know that's going to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
It's like we almost ought to open up an insurance policy for habitat, and so it's like, well, just because you can't fix it.
Yeah,
it's like
listen, this is the way it's going to happen. I can promise you that.
Yeah,
but that's why though too, going into this deep research of these properties and landscapes and areas across the country, we have to know that, because when we start to shape it, when we start to add disturbances or manipulate things, we need to know what basically the ground is going to respond with. If we don't, it's just a shot in the dark. We don't want shot in the dark. We want like, this is what's going to happen. We're 90% sure. Cause that
we want to maximize the potential regardless.
Removes headaches.
So if it's, let's go back to that example of a grassland, and it's like, well, I need woody browse. You guys talk about woody browse. Well, that may be shrubs instead of trying to plant hardwood forest.
Yeah.
Or we're down south and it's like, it should be a grassland, and there's a whole ton of sweet gums or whatever it is. It's like, well, we know what we need to do to remove this.
The sweet gum is not going to be valuable, so let's remove it, and this is what we're going to get then.
Yeah. And a lot of times with our consultation services, it's removing things rather than trying to add things.
Most times a lot of it is remove or change the form of what's already there.
Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out how people can manage sponsorships with removal rather than planting. So anyway, you know, another thing about our consultation services, it's always been really trying to ensure that the habitat is improved to where when we put our, like,
stamp.
We were here, the landowner invested in us.
Yep.
And we're investing in them as far as we're giving you the knowledge, we're giving you the ideas and
the
tools, that not literally giving you the tools, but the tools you'll need. Yeah, we
you
give
you get a backhoe, you get a skid steer,
yeah,
you get a shovel,
you get chainsaws,
yeah.
And
well, that's one way.
You get a helicopter full of herbicide.
Yeah,
and so we give you the list of tools that they will need, and so when we leave, we have a pretty good idea that property is going to transform.
Yeah, for
and
sure.
A lot of that comes down to just giving them the knowledge, giving them the information on how to accomplish that, giving them the direction on how to accomplish that. but also inspiring them to where they feel like it's a not that it's not a never-ending fight. Yeah. I think that's something that's analysis paralysis. It can be overwhelming to look at your property and say, I'm never going to get this done. But at the same time, if we're there, we will help you lay out the plan of saying, man, okay, this year I'm going to accomplish this, this, this. Next year I'm going to accomplish that, that, that. And we're managing with broad strokes. We're 80 gritting it, baby. Mm-hmm. We're not 220 in it. We're going to 80 grit it, knock out as much as we can because we've lined out the work in a very efficient way.
Yep.
And we're going to change this.
Biggest bang for the buck. And if you have any questions about that, go to the other podcast this week and listen to it. That's a man right there who has just thrown some 80 grit all over his property.
Yeah.
And not even worried about the details of or the finer points to perfect the property. And he has having amazing success.
I've told you that story about my old supervisor nicknamed 80 grit.
I think so.
My wife and I had this conversation not too long ago.
Conversation?
Conversation, yeah. Because so I worked with a guy who his license plate, where I went to college, Hard Work U, yep. He worked for your tuition. Not to get sidetracked, but this is a good story. He had a license plate that said 80 grit. And it was always, when the first time I started working, I said, why's your license plate say 80 grit? And he goes, oh, that's what they nicknamed me.
And that's a cool nickname. If you're going to get a nickname, it's not
80
bad.
Grit. Well, there's a reason why he's nicknamed 80 grit. Now I understand
rough
it.
Rough around the edges?
Nope.
Okay.
Because I'm kind of 80 grit myself. My wife kind of made this full circle. I'm like, oh, that's
where
makes
we don't
sense.
See eye to eye.
So Dale was his name, or is his name, and he was nicknamed 80 Grit because he showed up. He was one of the first guys on every new project.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff, but he never completed it. And, so when he was at the job site, it would be like, he would get it almost, like, he would start it, and he would get halfway through, and then they'd send him over to another project.
Okay.
And so he kind of just right. covered a whole lot of places.
He wasn't your
he was not your
guy,
touch-up
your finish guy.
Guy.
Yeah.
No. And then my wife and I were talking, like, with things around the house, and I was like, I'd get something almost there, and then she'd come in and finish it. I'm like, dadgummit, I'm just like 80 Grit Dale. I don't ever get to finish
I'm 80
this.
Grit, and you're the finisher.
Yeah, you're 220. So anyway, 80 Grit is a great way to manage your property. At the start, because that's the only way you're going to get change in a speed that we all want to see.
It's very visual, and it's very successful from a just general observations, interactions with wildlife, everything. Like if you only let's just say we write this plan, you only get 80 grit done, whatever percentage that may be. You're doing really good.
Yeah,
really
yeah,
good
because. If you go to 220 grit and you're trying to do the details, you're going to go nuts.
Oh, yeah.
Because you're going to think, there's a little bit of invasive species over there. There's a little bit over there. There's a little bit over there. You'll go nuts.
Yeah, that's
and that's
where
a lot of people
crazy.
Find themselves of going, oh, I've got too many weeds in my food plot. I've got too many invasive species. I need to bush hog this trail. I need to go do that. I need to go do that. And at the same time, your wife's wanting you to come home, spend more time at the house, and you're going, I'm never going to get this done. If you go 80 grit,
couple
you
weeds.
Knock out the bedding thickets, you do some TSI here and there, you stage it out over the years, you do some prescribed fire if possible. You get some food plots in, and you go with food plots that are less maintenance.
Yep.
You don't do every food plot in soybeans, which require a crap ton of time and maintenance and money and all the things. And once you get out of that mindset of focus on the food plots and aesthetics and you start going 80 grit, you're much better off.
And guess what? Deer don't care if it looks pretty or not. They
no.
like it. Like
80 grit is perfect.
It's 80 grit's like the functional approach.
Yeah.
And I like functional because everyone's busy.
You're going to cover
it. We're way off track here.
No, we're not. I know exactly where
Let's
I'm
bring
at.
It back.
So we're 80 gritting it, and that's kind of where our consulting services have always been. When we work with a landowner, by golly, when we talk to him the next year, I want to hear of results. I want to see pictures of big deer. And for 3 years, we've been in that mindset of going, man, when I work with a landowner, by golly, I want to walk away knowing habitat is being improved.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And we took
he's got a booklet of just knowledge to be able to take it and run. Go.
And we've had a pile of people ask us for this. And we never, I'd say the first 2 years, we were like, no, not doing it. Because we looked at, I guess, hard-headed, want to say thick-skulled, of going, we can't offer our services over the phone or through virtual tours and have that guy expect to have the same quality of work as our clients.
And I'm still to this day that we go to the property and write a plan, develop it that way.
And still to this day, I'll say that the people that we work with through an actual consulting property visit, those people get way more information and they get way more help specifically for their site that there's no way we could ever.
That cannot be replicated in any other fashion besides showing up.
There are certain species that we'll miss if we're doing aerial imaging. You just can't service a guy over the phone, like service his property the same way over the phone as you could in person. And we've lived by that.
Yep.
But
at
so many people have asked for this. And we've spent basically a year of trying to figure out how we can help the people that are asking for this service.
Because that's the thing, that's the toss-up of, we started this to help people.
No.
And there is a need for this, and obviously because people are asking, and therefore we don't want to leave people hanging, and we want to be able to help them to our fullest. And knowing that, okay, that is a consultation when we go to a property and we're physically there, we can't, let's say, consult to that same degree online, over the phone, video conferencing. However, we can still provide help. And that's what we're doing and releasing and talking about today, is that option for people.
Virtual consultations. And or it's not a, what do you want
property
to call
evaluation.
It? Virtual
that way there's
property
a difference
evaluation.
Between a consult and this opportunity.
Yeah.
But I will say this. Based on the step-by-step process that we've lined out for everyone who's interested in this process or property evaluation, it is as detailed, I think, as it can be. And we've gone back and forth. We've spent lots of time talking about it, kind of testing this thing out, and just, is this what we want to release? Is this what we want to do? Is this how we want to do it? Is this the steps, or is this the process? And we're trying to be as critical as we can, because we're very set on providing a certain level of service. And I think that
certain level is the best. I'll say it. I don't expect to show up and to think that we're giving you half our best or giving you 50% and whatever. We're striving to be the best consultants in the country for this
land consulting establishing
category.
Yeah. I don't even know what category it would fall in. I don't think it. I don't know.
That's why I just say natural resource management, because it's a huge bubble.
Yeah. And we've done that. We've talked to people who've never hunted before, who want to get into hunting, who've hunted for 30 years, whatever. It does not matter. We're here to help. But that's what we're releasing. And then we're going to kind of go through the steps of, okay, if people are interested, what this virtual property evaluation is going to look like, and dish it out, guys, and see what you guys think, and see how else that we can help and provide that assistance to everyone out there. Because, like I said, we've gotten those emails. We've gotten a lot of requests, Facebook messages, Instagram messages. And
it's one of the most popular questions we get.
Yeah.
Because we work with a lot of landowners through our consulting services directly on their farms. We do videos, we do podcasts, we do all kinds of stuff on social media specific to our properties. And there's a pile of people who want our help on their property, but let's they can't justify yeah. our consulting services yep. or they're a long ways from us, mm-hmm. Maine or Canada, and,
yep.
and
yep.
they want our help, but, you know, just to get us there, travel expenses, stuff, and it may only be 30 acres. And so they just can't justify getting us all the way up there to help them on 30 acres. There's a lot of things that maybe people – or they're at lease ground, and they yeah. just need some help on their hunting strategy.
Yeah. We've dealt with that a lot, and we talked about it on the podcast too, is a lot of times we've gotten to property, and I would say half or 60% of the consultation turns into more of a, how are you approaching the hunt of this property?
Yeah.
You know, the hunting strategy that needs to be deployed on this place, because it has maybe great access or has limited access. Access is not being utilized.
Yeah.
We do that a lot.
Most of our full plans include hunting strategies.
Oh, yeah.
And some properties we've gone to where we didn't really focus a lot on habitat because the regardless, the habitat was pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But the hunting strategy was way off. Could be greatly improved.
Yes.
And so we spent more time on helping with the hunting strategy. Mm-hmm. So that's a thing that this property evaluations could be for guys that are just leasing ground that need advice on how to access and hunt their properties.
Yeah. It's kind of open, and I think that's why it's good to call it that property evaluation, because, guys, this is an opportunity for you to utilize this time as much as you can. And so what, I guess, format it looks like is it is a video conference, 1 hour setup time that you either have Adam or I, or Adam and I, Frank,
Kyle and Frank,
yep, or be thrown into the mix here as well. That it is a virtual video setup meeting. There's a time schedule, send you all this information, and we're sharing screens so you can see what's happening. So there's a lot of interaction from our end on your end as well, that you can see maps, you can see photos that we're talking about. And
each person that signs up,
yep,
we will send you meeting, we'll send you a list of questions that we would yep. like you to answer. We'll send you a photo requirement. I guess it's not required, but it certainly helps. I don't know why you would have us come to help you.
It's going to benefit you way more than if
send
you don't.
Send them in if
sure.
you want. Don't send them in if you want. Either way, we're going to help you. But I would much rather have photos, you know, of your various places in your timber, various places in your old fields if you have them, watch your food plots look like. All kinds of different stuff.
And so that, right, you know, okay, we're sending over the questionnaire and basically a map that we'll have from as we review it, obviously your property boundaries, but then points of where we want the pictures taken from. And those pictures, please, let's just make sure they're in focus.
Yeah.
And probably, like, if you're in timber, let's take a picture of the ground. Let's take a picture looking dead straight forward, and maybe the canopy as well from one location.
Yeah.
That way we can see all these different elements to be able to help everyone the most, you know, tree species to amount of light to what regeneration, if there is any, occurring there on the landscape. So all those pictures, I think, will really, really help us determine those next steps for everyone.
And it's not only your pictures that will be shown on this online meeting, but it will be a lot of our stock
yes.
photos
yes.
to where when we're looking at your timber photos, we can then backtrack and reference timber photos from our farms and places that we've worked that could be kind of your goals of saying,
this is
what, you know, your mixed oak woodland. This is what an oak woodland that's actually restored should look like. Mm-hmm. This is the plant communities that you'll see. This is what we're going for.
Yeah,
this is something for you to shoot for.
It should be this thick on the ground. It should have these components. It should have this roughly amount of woody regeneration. You can see the brambles. You can see the forbs. And you look up and, oh my gosh, there's 80%+ sunlight coming through that canopy. That's the kind of stuff that, hey, we're talking this from our end. We want to replicate this exact thing at these different sites. And you know, okay, that's my goal to shoot for.
Yeah. And then the map part, that's a huge thing.
Humongous.
So right now we're going to be using Onyx.
Mm-hmm. And probably Webb Soil Survey will be referencing.
Probably so.
Google Earth to be able to determine some
historical photos,
backdating, as well as elevation. You know, that you know, turning that map, you can really see how sometimes this slope may get more sunlight than another slope. And so all those different components together, you guys will be able to see and allow us to be able to walk you through all these different elements that we're trying to manipulate on your given property.
Yes. And so, you know, I kind of did to a small scale, similar to what we're talking on a podcast about 3 months ago. I think that was in August. I did a kind of a property breakdown with a gentleman in North Carolina. Yep. And that was
how many
kind
acres
of
was that, 54 or something like that?
Yeah, it was a smaller property. Uh-huh. And when I did that one, it was kind of a test run. We didn't talk about it at all. We didn't even breathe it to other people. But that was kind of a test run to see more of people that might be interested in that one. My gosh, we had so many emails and comments on that one.
It was one of those, let's just see what a response is, not even provoke anything. Let's just see what happens with this.
And because, once again, we want your time and our time to be worth it. And we want you to, when we help you, we want to for you to believe that there's the ability to make a big difference in your on your farm and your neighborhood. And through just a random phone call with a stranger and just saying, hey, yeah, you do some stuff like this, do some stuff like that, it really is not the best. It's really not like a best use of time. It's kind of one of those things where free advice is the worst advice.
You get what you pay for. Isn't that the phrase?
It is the phrase. And you know, when you're talking over the phone, a lot of this is visual learning. You need to be able to see it, to believe it, and understand it. And so we kicked around, how can we make this a visual presentation rather than just stare at an aerial image?
Visual learning experience. Yeah, I mean, the map is great. And that was the thing that we kept going back to. I think that was the roadblock as we're trying to develop it, is the aerial can only tell you so much. Like,
you don't know if
it's... You have to incorporate all these different elements in here.
You know, you can't... It's hard to tell the makeup of the forest if you're just looking at green vegetation on an aerial image. That's why including photos, sending photos.
You can roughly tell if it, you know, let's say stem density.
Yeah.
Rough. It's a guess.
Yeah.
But maybe that picture's 2 years old. Yeah. And things have changed.
Well, when we hunted the wilderness, we don't know how old that we were using Onyx.
Yep.
And we don't know how old that photo was, but it was definitely old enough for us to go, my gosh, this has grown up a lot more than this map is showing.
Yeah.
And the same thing is true. That's why we're looking at multiple aerial imaging. And, of course, Google Earth Pro, we're backtracking, looking at the historical imaging. We may see cedar encroachment and go, ooh, okay, we already know cedar encroachment. There's eastern red cedar encroachment in this farm.
Yep.
That's probably going to be on the agenda. Now send us your photos.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you know?
Confirm that. And that's one of the things, though, too, is as we've been able, fortunate enough to travel across the country to many, many places, we've been able to take inventory for us on our end of what are the problems? What are the problem things that we often see in this region? Or what is the timber composition in this region? Because let's say southern Indiana looks much different than North Georgia,
yeah,
or much different from North Arkansas. And so let's say you email in from southern Indiana. Well, we've got a really good idea of typically the species that are going to be there.
Yeah.
And
not only the native species that really kind of create that ecosystem, but a lot of the common invasive species that
absolutely
you'll find. Like when we go to Mississippi, we have a pretty good idea. Chinese privet's going to be showing up somewhere, or even kudzu in places.
Yep.
Or we go somewhere in Illinois, we have a pretty good idea. Bush honeysuckle's going to be present.
If you go anywhere West Virginia, there's probably going to be autumn olive and Cerisa lespedeza. Those are just those things that hey, we know that we need to be asking you these questions. And if we don't see it on that questionnaire that's being filled out of what invasives do you have, you better know we're still going to bring it up and say, oh, well, I don't know what that looks like.
Yeah.
Here's a picture of what it looks like.
Yeah.
Tell me if you've got this, because that changes the game, though. That's the important thing of that one of those species being present in the area probably will change
that
the method.
That
of
might
which,
be the first year management.
Totally.
Of going, okay, this next summer, that's your number one job to remove that. Mm-hmm. Because if you don't, it's only going to get worse.
Yep.
So that's just a lot of this where having those photos, having that online meeting is the big reason why we feel confident that we can
provide this
yep. service. Because once again, just looking at an aerial or a topo and saying, here's a flat area, let's put a food plotter, let's put a bedding area, that's not cutting it. That's not quality information. And frankly, I feel like a thief charging you for it. So
yep.
We are offering virtual property evaluations that we can help you lay out areas for bedding thickets or these wildlife openings in the middle of the timber in proximity to your food plot. But that only happens if you guys give us the information that we need through photos and filling out our survey.
Or perhaps it's, oh, we're identifying you're actually in a upland prairie.
Yeah.
Or you're in a bottomland prairie. Or perhaps your site is an oak woodland. Or perhaps a savanna. We're probably going to be focusing on restoring depending on that current site index, what it is at now, its current evaluation,
or
but
you're
probably
in
restoring a lot of these features.
Or you're in an area where a gopher tortoise, you're in that area where there's probably some great cost share options to restore habitat in that part of the world.
Or the golden wing warbler along its migration.
Or rough grouse.
Whatever. Yeah. You know, all those different components we will be managing around and making the suggestions. Honestly, it reminds me of a gentleman. I'm going back to Southern Indiana for a second.
Yeah.
He was a smaller property. We did an on-site evaluation, walked the property with him and his wife, laid it out, sent him the plan. He goes basically pretty much straight to cost share, local folks, and got
FSA.
90% of the stuff cost share. Just that knocked it out of the park.
Pretty good one. Yeah.
Knocked it out of the park.
Did he get all that accomplished this year too?
I'm pretty sure. I know he got some of the bedding areas in. I'm not sure about all of them. But
tell that quick story from the one landowner you were telling me today, that 350-some-acre farm. And
yeah. So 340-acre farm in eastern Missouri. They had put in food plots. New farmer had come in. It was just all fescue, put in soybeans.
We visited this guy
two years ago in January.
Yeah.
And another quick thing that reminded me to tell you on him, but he's done all the work in the open areas, but he gotten a new chainsaw, goes in, does a clear cut on one of the areas in close proximity to an existing food plot, and quote, I think he said, that was one of the best and most focal areas that the wildlife had been spending around based on trail camera and hunting observations is that correlation of the food to quality cover now that he cut in and physically did that. And so
that farm had some areas that were pretty doggone thick.
Oh yeah. It had been timber harvested not terribly, I would say probably 2-3 years before we got there. Maybe four.
Maybe a little longer.
Yeah. But
in certain areas. The whole farm wasn't that way. But
it was pretty thick. But what we talked about too, it was that fresh vegetation, the tender vegetation, the new growth, that is what they're correlated to. So even when you're doing this past clients, you've got to follow up with fire. Keep it fresh. Keep it rejuvenated. You've got to do that.
Yeah.
The other thing, you remember where his home was?
That property? The glade.
That joker's gone in and cut 13 acres of cedar on that north of his house.
Really?
In the past 2 years.
Has he seen
a
difference?
He's opened it up. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. 13 acres.
That's incredible.
Pretty impressive.
Yeah. That was a small little chunk right there close to the house.
70?
70 acres, yep. Yeah. Huh. Well, that's awesome. You know, and this is kind of one of those things, too, where when you're looking at these virtual property evaluations, you got to ask, okay, what's the, why wouldn't I do this rather than a full consultation and have you guys come to our property? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It kind of, this is more designed, not saying you couldn't hire us for a bigger farm, but this is more designed for the guys on smaller properties, or you're in the northern parts of the country and you may be on a small piece, or you may be leasing a property and you're wanting just hunting help.
Yep.
Or right now you're just like, I just want to get an idea what to do. You know, we just bought this farm, funds are a little bit tight, but I want to have an idea of a direction to go. But that might be the option for you. But you may even look at, I know a lot of guys have reached out to us and they're like, I kind of want to get an idea right now on what direction to go. Yeah. But I definitely want to have you out a couple years from now. But right now, I just want a plan. We just purchased the property. All our money went into purchasing the place. And that could be somebody. But overall, this is not going to be the same level, obviously, as a full consultation of us coming there. But at the same time, you're not going to find a better option for a virtual online tour for consulting services, because we're going to be going through photos and maps to make sure that you are on the right track to improve your property.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's you've got to have that interaction of, and honestly, it provides more or less us with the confidence of you're understanding it. You're like, I can visually see you and I can say, you got that right. Check. Good. We're good. We can move on to the next thing. We can address the next thing. But, you know, that type of communication is definitely key. Because, again, the goal of this is to be the good stewards of the land.
Yeah.
And that was another reason of, we want to be on site. We want to. You can't hardly replace that relationship.
I want to make sure the property's headed in the right direction.
Yeah. But, again, at the same time, those who can't get us on site still need help. And that's what this is. And this is, we have to make sure that the information is being delivered in a clear manner so that you can leave that legacy with the property. It's not just quick fixes. Like, I just want to kill that big deer next year. It's let's lay this thing out and be able to guide and direct you in the right way that this is more of a legacy, long-term thought process than
I'm not just going to, okay, I got a food plot. Let's go in 50 yards and hinge cut a whole half acre.
It ain't like that.
Well, I hate to tell you, but in 3 years, you're going to have to cut it again.
Yeah.
And so we're trying to avoid those quick fixes, but this is an opportunity for us to help you in a lot more affordable way. Of course, the price is not nearly as much as our full consultations of our travel and everything to get there. We've designed this to hopefully hit the guys that have been asking for it.
Absolutely.
A lot of guys who have a pretty good, there's a lot of guys who are very knowledgeable on this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They have a pretty good feel for land management and property architecture, but they need that just that little bit of glue to hold everything together. This might be the option for them.
I think that's a great point. And we find that a lot is because in our on-site consultations, we have multiple different levels of consultation. And those folks, even who have done this type of thing for years and years and years, again, it's that added confidence of, I need you guys as a sounding board. And I need you guys as that honest opinion of, here's what I'm trying to do, but if I'm wrong, you correct me and you tell me. Here's a great option for that. And so, all that being said, there is information online to further detail out, you know, cost and what it's going to look like, and then the steps to proceed after an initial inquiry. But man, I'm
one other thing I want to say, I'm very confident in this. That typically it's real easy for somebody in our position to be playing with house money. And by that I mean show up and say, yes, you need to hire that dozer guy and we need to clear out all these food plots, make all these roads, plant all this stuff, bring in all this money, and we're going to make this a dream property. That's a very small market of people that could do something like that. One big thing that we do and strive to do, and doggone it, I feel pretty confident we're good at it, is to improve a property that's not going to cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah.
That's not, I feel like we've, and I know this because we've had clients tell us this, that our services saved them what the initial upfront cost was to get us there. They made that money back just on eliminating expenses that they were making year in and year out that weren't providing any of the results that they were looking for.
Totally.
So
totally.
This virtual property valuation, I'm 100% confident that our services in helping you prioritize your projects will pay for itself, because one thing we talked about pre-show was if you're asking the question how to get more food and you keep planting soybeans and deer keep eating them into the dirt, we've got an option for you that probably is not going to cost so much.
Yeah.
And so I'm confident to say that these services and our help can pay for itself and greatly improve your hunting and habitat because of the way we work on an 80 grit process. And so, yeah, I think if you're looking for ways to improve your property, and you're wanting to, I think sometimes, I guess I should say, is break the mold. And the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and expect different results.
Yeah.
I don't know how often we see that, but it's quite a bit.
A lot.
When people have a plan, okay, this month I'm planting food plots, next month I'm doing this, next month I'm doing that, and in a full year, we've accomplished mowing trails, we've accomplished food plots, and we've accomplished supplemental feeders and trail cameras.
And guess what? That was the same thing you did last year.
Same thing you did last year, and you keep waiting for a huge buck to show up, and you're like, you're just not seeing it yet.
Yeah.
Well,
that's because you're
doing might
the same
not
thing.
See it ever. Yeah. You're doing the same stuff. And so by changing it up and doing all this different types of disturbance, we're going to change up our focus. We're going to change up the way you manage your property, and we're going to change the results you see for better.
Absolutely. And another way I think for a lot of people to utilize this option is for the initial purchase of a property. How many times have we heard either people say, I wanted to buy something, I got excited, and this is what I've got now. Or you know, guys, I don't know if this was the right purchase. I've got these issues that have arose. Well, I was like, well, you might have been able to tell that initially up front. So this service too, from our real estate backgrounds and knowledge as agents, can certainly utilize itself as, guys, I'm looking at it, purchasing a property. Here are my three options, or I've narrowed it down to this, or bring three options to us and say, which one do you think?
Yeah.
We'll spend an hour with you guys reviewing all the goals that it is you guys want to have accomplished on the property, and
we
make
might
sure,
even spend more time, because we may end up going there to see it with you.
Absolutely. And there'll be more to that come, I think, next week on that option.
Yeah.
As so here's another pre-hint to another offering. However, but that again, sounding board, you utilize it for big time investments and purchases like a hunting farm.
Oh, or we see a lot of people fall in love with the property.
Yeah.
Emotionally, they're in love with it. But then realistically,
the emotional buy gets
they it. Can't get it the way they thought they could.
Yep.
Whether access is terrible.
Yep.
Terrible. And they spend the whole next 3 years going, oh my gosh, I wish I'd have thought about this before I'd have purchased it.
Yep.
Or they purchase it and not knowing certain species, it's filled up with invasives, and they didn't realize that, man, I'm going to have to get rid of all these before I can even start doing quality habitat improvement, restore of whatever it is.
Yeah.
It could be all those things.
And honestly, some of those things can easily be identified with send us the listing.
Yeah.
Send us the aerial. Let's spend some time over the phone. Let's really go through this with a fine-tooth comb and understand what it is you're trying to accomplish. And we'll be honest with you. I mean,
Or they purchase it. Here's another one. They purchase it with the idea that, man, it's really, really cheap. It's really cheap.
Yep.
It's in some sort of reserve program or conservation easement. And then they realize they can't do anything.
Yep.
And it's just going to sit there, and they're just going to hope for a natural disaster to come thin the timber for them or whatever it is. And it's going, man, I wish I'd have known that before I purchased it.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have to list that one, sell it, and try to find something new.
Yeah.
And you're out all that time.
So there's lots of ways to be able to utilize these property evaluations. You know, whatever situation you find yourself in from a land ownership standpoint, or you're getting into that game and you're looking at real estate, we want to be able to help you guys, and we want to be able to offer this time and this service, and have that, build these relationships through the video conferencing. And I know it sounds cheesy, but through sharing screens, and I know that sounds crazy,
like a webinar, I guess. For you guys exactly. Have ever done a webinar, that's what it's going to be like. You're going to see our face. We don't necessarily have to see your face.
If you don't want, you shall remain anonymous.
And so, but we will be able to communicate, talk it over through that, and then you'll be able to see our screen. So if we start laying out areas on your farm of saying, hey, your road system should look like this, your food plot area should look like this, your bedding thickets should look like this. If you're doing prescribed fire, and you're looking, this is the way I would make a fire unit, but do a burn plan. Whatever it is you're needing,
yep.
We're there for you during that hour and additional hours if need be. Yeah. If you decide to go that route,
if you're loving it and you're like, let's keep this thing going.
Yeah,
let's do it.
And it may very well turn into where we're there in the future physically.
Sure.
So, there's a lot of things that we can help you with. Not only through our regular consulting service, but through this virtual property evaluation, whether it be hunting, real estate, or just overall habitat improvements.
So there's a couple other, let's say, added benefits thrown into utilizing this service.
Oh, yeah.
What does that look like?
Oh, I forgot. You know, there's so much about this that really kind of comes to mind that it's easy to forget some of the things, some of the highlights, some of the benefits. So I mentioned paying for itself through cutting out projects that are a waste of time for you, which happens a lot. Even happens with us occasionally. But when we're looking at a year in the life of a land manager, there's a lot of projects that probably aren't getting you the return that you need or that you're looking for. One of the other big benefits is that we do offer discounts to our clients through some of the products and things that we have that we're dealers for. We're dealers for companies you guys don't ever hear us promote as a quote sponsor.
Oh yeah.
Just but it's stuff that we believe in. As you probably are aware, since we are land consultants, like for example, let's just say UTVs.
Mm-hmm.
As real estate agents and land consultants and traveling around to all these different farms, we probably have been in, I don't know, over 20 or 30 different brands of UTVs. And there's clearly good ones and there's really clearly bad ones. And
we've been on some that have broke down, ran out of juice, or a whole list of things, gotten
gone
stuck.
Down the road with the e-brake on.
God, burning that e-brake. We have seen it all, but there are definitely clear
winners and losers
in that game.
and that's just one of the things, like, you don't ever hear us promote us, but our clients ask us, and we tell them which ones we know are typically better than the others.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's something that our clients are in on and get that. And
have access to discounts through UTV brand, stuff like that.
Hunting blinds.
Yep.
Same thing. We've been in a bunch of them. We work with Redneck, and we're dealers for Redneck because we believe that we really like that product.
Yeah.
And we feel like if that's the kind of the category you're looking at, then that's a pretty good one to go with.
Yep.
And so discounts on various things, trail cameras as well. And that's just a part of what we're building. That's through our store. You'll see even more coming to the store in the future. To where overall we're hopefully the one-stop shop on everything that you need to know about your farm, and products that you need to make your farm the property you want it to be.
For sure. So, by utilizing this service, you get access to some of those deals and discounts and things like that, by being a part of the virtual property valuation and kind of getting into, let's say, that network of opportunities.
Facebook group.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's only for our clients, a little bit more personal and things like that. So, I think this is something that is exciting because it allows us to help more and more people. I think another thing that really kind of, for me, when it started this out, it was the marathon mindset.
Yeah, definitely.
And it was like, I may not see you this year or next year, but one of these days I'm going to get on your property to help you.
Mm-hmm.
And, 45,000 acres and 27 or 28 states. I don't even know what it's at right now, but we've covered a lot of ground, and the realization that it'd take a lot of years for us to help every single one of you guys that listen to this podcast, let's just say. We have a lot of guys that email in and listen to this podcast. Huge thanks to you guys. But we're just getting started.
Oh, yeah.
And the best is yet to come. And this is a way for us to help more and more landowners, as well as continue helping our existing and future clients. So
for sure. I think I would regret if I did not say, or I guess let's say reinforce, as we kind of probably started the podcast with it. But this service, it's not a substitute for on-site boots on the ground approach.
Well, no.
We have preached probably into the dirt. Soil, not dirt, soil.
There you go.
We have preached into the soil. The
it
fact
depends.
That
are they doing tilling or are they tilling?
That's right. You decide.
If you're doing heavy tillage, we'll call it dirt.
Yeah. But we have preached about the necessity of the boots on the ground approach for providing that level of service and consultation. So this does not substitute that. However, this is the next best thing.
Yeah,
and I feel confident in that, and so this property evaluation is what we're calling it and moving forward with, and I'm super excited to be able to reach a whole another group of people to be able to talk with and chat with and help solve issues and problems that arise on the property.
Like, for sure,
because this is going to provide a lot of opportunity for relationship building, and that's half of what we do too. I mean, how many times you guys hear a lot of clients who come on the podcast, there's definitely friendships and stuff that are built around this. So there's a whole nother way to connect with people.
Absolutely. I can't believe it, but we haven't even mentioned anything about where to email, where to get more additional information.
Over jacked up about it.
We are really good at consulting. We're really good at building and helping people build management plans. We may not be the most savvy marketing geniuses when it comes to, no, you got to say this first and that first. If you want more information, it's www.landandlegacy.tv.
Yep.
You'll see a email tab or a contact us tab where you can send us an email there, or you can send us an email. It's all going to the same place, but it's info@landandlegacy.tv.
So, on that consultation tab, you guys will see a breakdown of the different services that we offer. And then at the very bottom of the page is that information, basically document. You fill that out. It sends us an email. So, I think, we've had a couple people email in about difficulty of
I have no idea.
I don't know why. The only thing that I can think of is potentially instead of using that that login form or that yep. email form, trying to utilize it straight info@atlantalegacy.tv.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's the issue. Yep. However,
there's two ways to contact us.
Yes.
You can either go through the website or you can try it directly. If one yep. doesn't work, try the other way.
There we go.
If that doesn't work, shoot us a message on Instagram yep. or Facebook.
We will get with you. And I will say this. We, I would expect.
Or call Matt's cell phone.
That's if you don't get him, call Adam. yeah. But if I would say we're probably going to get quite a few emails in regarding this guy. So be patient with us. We will absolutely get to you.
Ladies, great Christmas present.
Hey, yeah, that's true. Very true. So, you know, all the information is going to be in there on the consultation tab. If you're interested, read through it and then send in that information through the website there, the contact at the bottom of the page. And we'll get with you as quickly as we can. And there will be several emails to go through before that, let's say, a consultation date is set.
So if you're looking for help on your farm for hunting strategies, you have four guys available. You've got Matt, myself, Kyle, and Frank, who you've heard on the podcast, you've seen on our YouTube channel. You don't hear them on the podcast as much as Matt and I because we've been here doing this a lot. I guess we launched the podcast before they were ever part of Land and Legacy. But at the same time, if your property, if you're wanting to really focus on upland bird management, they're great sources. But even
incredible
if you're focusing
resources.
On yeah. Managing grasslands mm-hmm. for deer, they might be a great they are a great resource, and they might even be better. You may want to talk to them more than you want to talk to us. Who
yep.
knows? You still have that option. Kyle and Frank, very, very knowledgeable biologists and definitely can help you with upland bird, even a background in writing grazing plans incorporated with grassland management. So long list of services and options here that can help you with your farms.
Absolutely. I'm pumped for this. I think
for
it's
sure.
I think it's going to be great. I think it's going to be extremely valuable from hopefully the consumer end, but I know for a fact from our end as well. It's
yeah.
going to be fun to be able to watch this thing evolve and get it kickstarted. Like I said, this has been something that's just been evolving for a while.
All right, so
whew, fun.
There you go.
Fun stuff.
info@atlantalegacy.tv or go to our website and contact us through the consulting tab at the bottom.
Yep.
Two things before we wrap this up. One, Chad and I got after it today.
Yep.
With habitat management. It's actually November the 30th right now, so we're not even through November, and we've already switched back to habitat. Chad and I did edge feathering and heavy TSI along one of our food plots. It's been neglected over the years. Been neglected for a lot of reasons. Just have never had a good deer in that on that food plot.
Because your dad hunts there?
Because my dad hunts there on bad winds, maybe. It's a smaller food plot that hasn't been productive over the last few years. It's a long, skinny food plot, and it's competing. It was competing with
yeah.
more mature trees on both sides of it. Plus, it's a south facing food plot.
Not no mo,
and not anymore. And so, I mean, it's still facing south, but it's not competing with a lot of trees.
We completely changed this thing.
Yeah, and so, and it may shift and be something else in the future. But right now, it's got a lot of quality cover around it now. If you're on a property and you're a landowner, I don't care where you're at in the country, but if you're asking the question, how do I get more food on my property to get my deer through till next spring? Oh, we got an easy solution. Easy solution for you. And that really comes down to woody browse.
Mm-hmm.
Growing season's over for the most part. You may be down south, still got some growth. You may be getting some warmer days. But overall, the majority of growing season is over. And it's going to be a while before we get back into growing season. And you may have the option of going, well, I'll just dump corn on the ground. I'll dump whatever on the ground. That's going to be
Band-Aid.
Costly, and it's going to be, yeah, it's a Band-Aid. Band-Aid on a massive wound if mm-hmm. that's the situation you're in. Woody Browse is a significant food source. And not only does it provide food for your deer, it provides better cover for the future. And it also can help the health of your forest by removing junky, low-quality timber and releasing some of your better timber, your crop trees. And, you know, go back to the podcast with Dr. Craig Harper. And thinning, releasing acorn-producing trees, releasing the competition around, and they're going to produce more. And so this TSI edge feathering is a great way this time of year to get out with a chainsaw, your hunts, let's say you've already killed some deer, get out there and start improving habitat. Or the conditions are poor. Go to a part of the farm where you don't have a lot of, you're not worried about pressuring, and start doing some habitat work. And for example, flowering dogwood right now has got buds the size of a pencil eraser.
Mm-hmm.
And already, you're thinking, already has buds?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah. And that is deer food. So if you've got a bunch of flowering dogwoods in your understory and they're up 10, 15 foot tall, well, put them closer to the deer where they can reach them, and they're going to hammer them.
Yep.
And it may take a little bit. Like at my farm, they hammer them almost in the first night because they associate the sound of the chainsaw with food, and they know that more food's on the ground. And so now we have a lot more food available, way more food in an afternoon of doing TSI than dumping a bag of corn out on the ground. Plus, guess what? You're not attracting a whole bunch of unwanted animals to one site, like, raccoons. For example, raccoons, possums, coyotes, since so many people hate predators. I'll address that as well. And so, you know, we did this for one afternoon, and this whole area got greatly improved. And it's
roughly,
something that...
Roughly, let's just say, because we get this question all the time. How many acres, if you will, did you guys
when
cut?
When I say afternoon, I say we started at probably 3:30, and we cut till 5:15.
Okay. So
not even two hours.
Two chainsaws.
And we cut. Yeah, I cut. I had some difficulty with the chainsaw, so I had to go swap.
Yeah.
But I would say we probably cut close to 2 acres.
Close to 2 acres.
Of heavy thinning.
Right. Plus the edge feathering, which is a little bit more of a, you know, say a delicate process. It's a little more pick and choosy, and then directional felling versus just get that stuff on the ground.
Yeah, it was pretty much get that stuff on the ground because it was so many junk trees growing that it was like, regardless, we're creating barriers here. So we're going to go back and cut some lanes through it to where they dump out on the food plot where we want them. But overall.
You 80 grit.
We did 80 grit. We just put stuff on the ground. And it's a great area that's already got eastern gamma grass, big blue growing in some patches.
Tons of blackberry, goldenrod, I believe.
Only where there's sunlight.
Yep. Wasn't there side oats there, too?
Eastern red cedar. No, there was
side oats right up there.
River oats through one of the little drains that came down through there. But a lot of nice young white oaks and decent-sized white oaks that hopefully we removed. Some pretty big hickories, some junky walnuts. We've got a great big sycamore that we're going to go back and girdle because we didn't have any herbicide with us. And that's, you know, one thing I want to address. Woody browse is lacking in my area, and so we're letting a lot of this stuff grow back to provide forage. And if it becomes a problem where we have too many stems per acre, we'll go back and start using herbicide. But right now, it's not a problem.
That's a little bit of a difference than many people is the fact that everyone is a pyro around here. So there will be fire as well, and quite a bit of fire in these areas.
Yeah.
And not just backing fires, most likely.
That site got pretty hot because a lot of the smaller East Red Cedars were dead.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the buckthorn was dead, stump sprouting. But we had a lot of really big cedars that had been neglected for a lot of years, and they're now down.
Yeah.
So. We'll probably actually pull the logs out on those because they were so big.
There were some big ones, yeah.
So, you know, it's one of those questions. Pre-show, we talked about this comment. More food, more food, more food. For here in the Midwest, we had a very dry fall, and then we had a very early, heavy frost. So our window of growth, the 13th of October.
I was going to say 12th or 13th was right in that window.
And we didn't get rain until sometime in later September. And so, but good news is a lot of the clovers that's that was planted in the food plots is about 3 inches tall and
like
already
that.
has a true clover head. So it will survive the winter. But it's not thriving. It's just surviving.
It's present. It was seeded. A root
system
is developed. It will
grow next spring.
Yes.
And so we'll have stuff growing, greens, to help with that soil health, improving soil health through the diversity of plants that we planted. But, you know, more food, more food, more food.
Yep.
That's a question, and that's a comment, and that's an everyday problem that people face. And we get it a lot. How can I have more food? Well, one example that we talked pre-show was, you know, a lot of places may only have a couple of food plots.
Yep. Minimal acreage.
And the rave is soybeans, right?
Yeah.
So let's plant soybeans. Well, you have heavy deer population or even just average.
You can
but
have
they
average.
Like the ice cream plants, and so they come to your food plot. Well, and you have a good amount of turkeys even.
It doesn't even have to be to that. It could be moderate deer levels and poor management of the timbered acres.
Yeah.
If there's not food there, guys, they're not going to feed there.
No.
Every day of the week. That's going to happen every single time. They're not going to feed there if there's not food there. So they have to go places where there is food. And it makes no sense to have acres and acres and acres devoted to no food on a property. And so you've got to supplement with your native forage.
Yeah.
Woody browse,
especially this time of year.
And even in a place where there's really good, like, high-quality timber. Like, you guys want to cut scrag timber on your guys' farm.
Yeah.
You know, let's say within 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Some of that stuff, if we were going to go in and TSI aggressively, we would probably cut.
Right.
However, that's not what's occurring. But what can still occur is all the other stuff that does still need to get cut. It's going to get cut.
Or in the future, we're going to do a harvest. Well, if we're not doing any kind of timber management, it the tree size, the DBH, may be the same that it is right now in 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But through active timber stand improvement, we're going to release trees. They're going to get more nutrients. They're going to grow bigger. And in 5 years, they may be a lot bigger, so we bring in more money.
More
at the same time, we've improved habitat now.
Bingo. And that's the thing is, like, you know, if you're one of those folks and you're like, well, I got a harvest come. I got a harvest come. There, I can guarantee you there are still trees in your timber or your woodlot. I don't care where you're at that need to get cut.
Oh, yeah.
Promise you.
And I almost say this, but I guess I get so, you know, you meet those people that are like mentors of yours that you look up to, but they're a little bit crotchety. You know, they're a little bit more rough
around
that
you think in your head. But
and you're just like, man, they almost act irritated at everybody. And I guess, you know, 3 years into this, I'll make this comment now. For the people that are saying, well, it's not very aesthetically pleasing. Oh, shut up. I don't care about aesthetics.
Well,
to a point of getting in the way of improving habitat. Aesthetics are okay. You know,
here's the thing.
They have a place, but it's a very small place if we're looking at overall habitat improvement.
Here's what I'm going to say. I don't care about aesthetics until I know that the habitat is in place that needs to be in place to carry and to meet the landowner's goals and objectives.
Yeah.
Aesthetics should not be the first priority or should inhibit you from accomplishing the first goals of the property, which is creating quality and sound habitat. Once you've done that, then go back in and hit it with the 220.
You can bush hog your trails and trim your lanes and, you know, not cut it nearly as aggressive along your roads. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But I'm doing that after the habitat is there.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't want to see what I hate seeing is aesthetic pleasing timber
while
the deer are starving.
At the expense of quality.
That's not land management. That's not game management. That's not wildlife management. That's just being greedy and
hard-headed
and ignorant.
Yes.
And so cut some stuff.
We could probably end it on that note.
Cut some stuff. But yeah, I know we've gone over an hour. Hopefully you guys are ready to gear up for full-fledged habitat improvement. You know, we're kind of getting through the rut. I'm getting ready to drop some more videos on the YouTube channel. You're going to see a lot of how-tos coming up, a lot more in-depth because of so many guys. You ask and you ask and you ask for more videos and more videos and more videos and more videos that pertain to our podcast. So in 3 years, we've now turned it over to ourselves, and we're editing those. And so they're not nearly as high-quality editing. But
information is out there.
But the information is out there, and that's what you need. So
we appreciate you guys following along to those.
Yes. And so I think that's all my announcements.
We'll have another kind of, let's say, service-ish type podcast next week to reveal some other stuff that guys we're working on and kind of developing here and have been really for 3 years and working on these relationships. So, guys, it's just this is such an exciting time. Like,
yeah.
I honestly have found myself really focused on, let's say, the end of this year and what next year's looking at. And have honestly been distracted from what deer are doing. And like, wait a second, it's November.
Yeah.
But there's so much cool stuff that's happening. And so next week you'll hear some more. But guys, thank you so much for listening and following along and helping us get to this point. We have you to thank for sure.
Absolutely. If you haven't already, please go like us on Instagram and Facebook, Land and Legacy, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Catch you next week.
Yeah, see you.